I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
It's just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Jonathan DeBurka-Butler is here to bring a story from other parts of the world. Good afternoon, Jonathan.
Sean, how are you getting on?
Costa Rica we're going to go to first. Mm. They've elected a female president for the second time.
Yeah, so they elected a female president back in 2010, and now they have elected Laura Fernandez. She is a member of the Conservative Sovereign People's Party, which has only been around since 2022. They seem to come up with new parties in Costa Rica quite a lot. She was kind of handpicked by the outgoing president, a man by the name of Rodrigo Chavez. And the reason I wanted to look at this particular story is we mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. I have things to look out for. But I think really the reason why she got elected is one of the things that's worth exploring, right? So she won with 48%, over 48% of the votes, okay? And in those elections there, you only need to get to 40% in the first round to avoid a runoff. So it's slightly different from other places. But the big focus of this election was crime, okay? And the increase in homicides, right? Now, Costa Rica is, relatively speaking, a very stable place. And they run democratic elections. I don't know if they've had many dictatorships over the years. So it's quite peaceful, quite stable. But in the last few years, the murder rates have gone up, right? So the murder rates in 2014, 9.5 per 100,000. Ours is usually less than 1, just to give you an indication of where they're at. There was a gradual increase then over 8 years up to about 12.1 in 2022. And then in 2023, it spiked, okay, up to 17.3 per 100,000. And it stayed around that, right? So that was quite high. So people were beginning to get rather concerned about that. So the outgoing president reacted to that and said, right, I'm going to, you know, hammer down on these on these gangs that are operating in Costa Rica. It's similar to what we've been seeing going on in Ecuador and other places that never saw this sort of stuff before, and they're seeing it now.
So, and this is overspilled from Colombia, perhaps?
Yeah, Colombia, Mexico. So these big transnational gangs are going in. They're seeing smaller gangs operating in these countries, and they're going, right, we'll arm you to the teeth. We need to get the cocaine going through your country or into your country, right? And so that's the reason for it. It's turf wars, what's happening here. So she specifically in her victory speech said that she was going to plow ahead with the policies that were introduced by her predecessor, okay, who couldn't run because you can't do consecutive terms in Costa Rica. But very interestingly, she has also said that she would emulate some of the policies of El Salvador's president, Nayib Bukele, okay, who's very famous for throwing lots of gang members into this new prison that he built in El Salvador. Trump loves him. President Trump loves him. There are an awful lot of people in Central America and South America who are taking a lead from his playbook.
Right. Okay.
And in El Salvador, I'm sorry to go off now into another country, but
right,
in El Salvador, he is extremely popular because the murder rate has plummeted from being the worst in the world to being a very safe place, comparatively speaking. So it's funny to see, or it's interesting to see, that even though Costa Rica hasn't got as crazy as El Salvador did, that they are looking at that playbook and really looking at, you know, hammering down on these gangs.
Yeah, and getting very tough on them.
Yeah.
The fact that, though, that this is happening, this is, you know, and this seems to be a relatively recent phenomenon, that this violence is spilling out from Colombia and Mexico into other countries. Is that as a result of things that are happening elsewhere? Perhaps the routes they had usually taken to get
being closed
loads
off
of cocaine into the United States, that's the effect this is having.
It's an interesting question. I'm not 100% sure, to tell you the truth. I know Ecuador is a relatively new transport hub, and we've spoken about it a lot over the last few months. I think Costa Rica is probably similar, but I can't say for sure, Sean, to be honest with you. But it is a great question, yeah.
Yeah, and this kind of get to, like, is this like state of emergency and personal rights and that kind of thing, yes, maybe so suspended a wee bit?
Yeah, so she's talking about that. She's talking about declaring states of emergency in various states where these gangs are controlling parts of the country. Chavez, who was there before, wanted to do something similar, but he was hamstrung by the fact that he didn't have a majority in Parliament.
Yeah.
On the same day that the presidential elections happened, there was parliamentary elections, and she now has a majority that she can work with. So a different landscape altogether, and she'll probably be able to do more. Interesting that she hasn't ruled out actually bringing Chavez back into her cabinet at some point as well. So I wonder, will you have a kind of a Putin situation there who really is the president?
And you mentioned that Trump is an admirer of this kind of thing in other countries. Like, how are relations with Costa Rica?
So they get on quite well. As far as I know, they have a third country policy where the Trump administration is allowed to send people that are, you know, rounded up by ICE, even if they're not from Costa Rica, and they can be sent there to be detained. So, yeah, they have an excellent relationship.
Yeah. Right. Somalia, we're going to go to next, where a woman has been executed. Now, executing women, as I understand it, is relatively rare there.
Yeah, so this is in a specific part of Somalia. So to the north of Somalia, you've got the semi-autonomous region of Puntland, and then you've got Somaliland beside it, which is looking, obviously, for its own state recognition. Puntland, not exactly, but it runs itself and has done so since 1998. Right now, there they have a mixture of civil law, customary law, and Sharia law, okay? And in this particular instance, a woman has been executed for murdering a 14-year-old girl. Okay, so the woman in question was 34, Hodan Mohammed Dirie is her name, and she had taken this girl into her house as a kind of a maid. Now, she'd only been living there for approximately 2 months, but apparently, according to the investigators, the torture that she was being put through was extraordinary. Now, she had a very unfortunate life, this poor young girl. Both her parents died within a short period when she was just one year old. And her family took her in. They looked after her. Her extended family took her in. They looked after her for 13, 14 years, but then effectively gave her away to this woman. And she used to torture. When the autopsy was done, there was scars and evidence of knife wounds, all sorts of things. And when they looked at the perpetrator's phone, they found videos and audio. So this is probably the most disturbing part of it. The fact that she kept video and audio of what she was doing to this girl.
The perpetrator did.
She obviously was looking back on it and that kind of thing. So eventually she ended up beating her to death, and it caused consternation in the country. There were a lot of protests around it. And she was sentenced to death by firing squad, and that happened last Tuesday.
Yeah. Firing squad.
That's how they do it there.
My word. And is there any move towards protecting people who are supposedly in domestic service like this?
Not that I've seen, to be honest. I mean, the protests, okay, that happened in some of these cities in Puntland. It's a big old population there, actually, about 4.5 million, I think. But the protests that happened in some of the cities here were calling for that. We're calling for more protections. Now, whether the government will listen is another thing. I do know that an awful lot of some clerics were involved in calling for this, and they have a lot of sway in that part of the world. So maybe something will happen, but exactly what they can do, I don't know.
Yeah. Right. Bulgaria, we're going to go to next. Another bizarre story now involves the secret filming of women in beauty salons.
Yeah, very strange one. This Bulgarian prosecutors have launched a criminal investigation after hundreds of women were secretly filmed during what they're calling intimate cosmetic procedures at beauty salons. Now, the complaints that we know about so far, there's been over 100 of them. Two happened in the city of Burgas, which is on the Black Sea. So kind of a resort town, small population, about 250,000 people there. Okay. And there's two beauty salons in Burgas and another one in a central city called Kazanlak, which I'd never heard of before, I have to admit. And so what they're saying here is that the complaints have come from these women who have seen video footage of themselves and that have been uploaded onto porn sites and have been shared via Telegram, the Telegram app. This is being investigated now. At this point, the salons that have been involved, or the salons that were involved, have said that it's nothing to do with them. They didn't know anything about it. And at one, you're looking at me going, really?
Yeah.
But they're saying that, you know, their video footage, their CCTV or whatever they have inside was hacked somehow. And somebody got in and this is how the video footage, but I don't really see how that would work for a second. At this point, authorities have spoken to salon owners, current employees, former employees, and they have arrested nobody. And amazingly enough, the salons have actually remained open, as far as I'm aware. So it's a story that's going to get bigger, I'd say, over time within the country because the amount of people that are involved, but also because there's a judge, a prosecutor, journalists, there's daughters of a regional governor who've been filmed allegedly here, a police officer. So, you know, this is bad news.
And these women would have been in having kind of, well, I suppose they're described as intimate procedures, but you'd probably be waxing and that kind of stuff.
Laser treatments, waxing, those kind of things. Situations where they would have been either fully naked or partially naked.
Yeah.
There's also reports from a gynecology practice as well, where filming was done.
And nobody said, where is the camera? Why is there a camera in a gynecological clinic?
This is part of the investigation. We simply don't know. This is what they're looking into. They have to establish who had access to the cameras and the recordings and how the footage was distributed. At this point, they're not saying anything.
Yeah, and so but we're talking about hundreds.
Hundreds, yeah.
Hundreds
over
of these
100
cases.
Complaints filed with police in that one city on the Black Sea. So you're talking probably double or treble that.
Yeah. That's extraordinary, though. I mean, saying that the cameras were hacked, why did you have cameras there in the first place?
Well, indeed. It beggars belief, to be honest with you. So, you know, I think that's a situation where the owner of the salon basically said, I have to come up with an answer. That's what he came up with. But we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah. Right. OK. Italy, we're going to go to next. Now, explain what sniper tourism is.
Okay, so you remember the terrible war that happened when Yugoslavia broke up between 1992 and 1996. And one of the awful tragedies of that war was, of course, the city of Sarajevo, which is a city that was surrounded by mountains. And it was basically put under siege by Bosnian Serb army. Okay, and they used to bomb it and they used to shoot people from the hills. Eventually, 11,000 civilians were killed in that city, would you believe? And what is being looked at here is, as you said, sniper tourism. Sniper tourism, in short, is the phenomenon of going to war zones to kill people for fun.
Yeah.
Right? And there were always rumours of it happening in Sarajevo, in and around Sarajevo, but it now appears that prosecutors in Italy have placed a man under investigation as part of a probe into alleged sniper tourism in Sarajevo. It's pretty sick stuff, to be honest with you. He is the first of three people who we know are being being looked at off the back of work that was done by a journalist called Ezio Gavazzini. Gavazzini had read about this 30 years ago in a publication of La Repubblica, the well-known newspaper there. Knew it was kind of spoken about, but then he later saw a documentary and he started digging a bit deeper. And then he delivered a 17-page report, an extraordinary work, 17-page report to prosecutors in Milan last year. They started investigating and now they are beginning to put questions to people who they believe might have been involved.
Yeah. And the people, the so-called tourists, were they paying money to people to organise these things?
So what we know so far is that it looks as if these people were paying up to 100,000 euros. So this was wealthy people, up to 100,000 euros, either to go to these places or be brought to those places, if you know what I mean. So what we don't know about this man who is being arrested is whether he's being investigated for organizing it or for going there and actually taking part.
Okay.
Right? So what we think happened at this stage is that the three Italians who were involved, and we think there was Americans and Russians involved as well, but the three Italians who had been looked at here, they were from different cities, Turin, Milan, Trieste. They met up in Trieste. They flew from Trieste into Bosnia, and they were met by Bosnian Serb soldiers who then took them to Sarajevo and took their money and said, off you go.
Yeah.
Shoot us whoever you want.
And presumably they set them up in a sniping position to do this kind of thing.
They must have. Yeah. And I believe there was kind of, and this is quite upsetting, so just a warning, I believe there was a kind of a menu of the type of people that you could shoot. And so it was more expensive to shoot children, for example, and old people were free.
Yeah. And have there been, have they correlated deaths to possibly people being killed by snipers?
That's a great question. And this is why I had to look into it a lot further, right? There is, as I said, there's always been rumours that this thing happened, right? Another source that I looked at, the BBC, quoted British soldiers who had said that they had checkpoints going in and out of Sarajevo, and they believed that it would have been very difficult, not going in and out of Sarajevo, but going in out of the hills around Sarajevo, and it would have been very difficult for anybody to get through those checkpoints without them knowing. They said that they had heard rumours of this happening, but they think that they're not true.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gavazzini, in his investigations, this journalist seems to think they are, and the prosecutors in Italy seem to think that they have enough. And Gavazzini has like witness statements from Bosniak generals and Secret Service, former Secret Service, that kind of thing. So they're basing their investigations on that. At this stage, the man hasn't been arrested. He went in to be questioned yesterday, but I didn't see any news. I looked at to see was there anything before I came in, and there wasn't any updates.
Okay, excuse me. Finally, we're going to go to the US and our semi-regular Oh the Irony department. This is an influencer who's been arrested by ICE.
Yes, so this is an influencer, a Brazilian influencer. He has 1.3 million TikTok followers and 500,000 Instagram followers. And he's a supporter of President Trump. He said in a recent post that he supports Donald Trump. I like the guy. And what he tries to do is he tries to show the reality of the USA from a migrant's perspective. And he has said in the past that Brazilians in the United States need to stay calm and not despair if they hear reports of ICE agents and if they're okay. Because the people that are being seized are all crooks, the lot of them. What's happened is he was arrested last Saturday, and we don't really know where he is at the moment. We believe he's been detained in Newark. I looked him up on Instagram. I haven't seen a post from him for a couple of days at this stage, obviously because he probably can't because he's been detained.
Yeah.
All we know at the moment is, according to a friend of his, that he was taken into custody after missing a court hearing. Now, that court hearing was apparently to do with an administrative issue involving an immigration hearing. So he apparently had his immigration hearing postponed, but the change was not recorded. So when he didn't turn up, he was marked as absent. So he was on the naughty list. And so when ICE agents came across him, they said, in the back of the van, as they say.
And there we go. And presumably his, however many followers he had, are distraught.
They are, yes. Some of them friends are looking for his followers to pray for him. Other opponents are obviously sort of saying, good enough for you. But anyway, same time, poor lad in prison in the States.
Thoughts and prayers and all that. Right, so what should we look out for over the next week or so?
Yeah, coming up Wednesday, that's tomorrow, Keir Starmer, if he lasts, and it kind of looks like he might, he'll be up against Kemi Badenoch at PMQs, that's Prime Minister Question Time, which is always quite interesting anyway, if you're a political nerd, but I think tomorrow will be particularly interesting. To look at Thursday, NATO defense ministers are meeting to discuss defense around NATO, and then Thursday there's elections in Bangladesh, so interesting to see what happens there.
Jonathan, thanks a million. As
thanks,
ever,
sure.
Jonathan de Burke, Butler.
Moncrief weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
on a job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.